and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I am your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by my friend Jade.
Hello!
Today we have watched a older Tom Cruise film. My first few have been more modern films, so I thought it was time for an 80s classic Tom Cruise film. Yes. And we chose Cocktail.
Of course.
I feel like it's one of his most famous. A lot of people think of Cocktail when they think
definitely.
Of... And Top Gun. But yeah, for some reason, Cocktail is just like
it's the thing.
A go-to Tom Cruise sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you've never seen it before.
No.
Did you know anything about it before?
I thought this was the one that with the socks, when he's sliding around in the socks. But that's now I remember Risky Business.
Yes.
So I was kind of expecting a sock sliding scene and that didn't really happen.
No. Wow, disappointing.
So obviously my knowledge of the movie was pretty limited, but I just I think the pink neon really attracted me to the film initially.
It is nice.
Yes.
It's very eye-catching. Everything should be in pink flowing script neon, if you ask me. Now that we've watched it, what did you think?
Oh, it's just a classic 80s. Like, there's just so many things about 80s films that are in this movie. It has encapsulated everything. And the story is like, it's just that classic good-looking boy goes down to New York City to make $1 million and he's reading all his books and then learns that, you know, money isn't everything. Yeah, it was great. It was great for hair, great for fonts and club names. And I really love 80s movies. Oh, and also thong bikinis. Like, there's always a bum shot.
There were so many bum shots.
Yeah. 80s movies are like classic for the thong bikini.
There was actually on one of the characters who we'll discuss in a moment. Some of their bikinis are really, really like they would do well on Instagram now.
Yes.
Like really geometric and fringe and everything on them.
Yeah.
Like, wow, she's ahead of the curve. Like, yeah, not she didn't have all the high waisted, like desperately unflattering.
That's right. Yeah. It was literally string.
Yeah.
Pieced together.
Just pieced together in a nice pattern to make a nice tan on her back.
Yeah.
On her bum. So we're going to have a little discussion about what actually happens in the movie. As you just said, it's pretty stock standard kind of 80s dude discovers himself by fucking up a few times
and yes,
and being a bit of a dickhead. But I guess what sets it apart is that it's very visually interesting to watch because there's a lot of cocktail flair in it, which is very exciting. Although I guess nowadays when we see someone doing cocktail flair, we're like,
just hurry up and serve my drink. Enough with the Tom Cruise-ish.
You don't care. So the movie was made in 1988. I had a quick look. It didn't do that very well.
In terms of box office or?
Yeah. Oh, it did okay box office wise, but like it was panned really badly critically. Like Rotten Tomatoes gave it like 2% or something, like a really tiny amount.
That's rough.
And even Tom Cruise said it wasn't that good. Like, he even had a bit of a go at it. And yet that's one that everyone sort of thinks about, I guess.
I don't think it's
the worst.
Worst.
Yeah. I think it's a product of its time.
Totally.
Absolutely. But
yeah, if you're reviewing it now for its
if someone made that now,
like, you'd be like, what the hell? But, you know, for the 80s, for all of the 80s glory, it's perfect.
Yeah. I loved the decor, because there's a lot of, we end up seeing the interiors, a lot of wealthy people's homes.
Yes.
In this, and just the amount of, like, I don't know if people outside Australia won't know this, but there was a place called Copper Art that used to sell, well, stuff made of copper, but it was like homewares, and it looked like, I think, like Copper Art looked at these movies and was like, sweet, that weird copper leaf sort of palm frond lamp.
Oh, the light lamp.
We're going to fucking produce a million of those.
Yes.
And so houses in the early 90s in Australia were full of them. The story starts off with Tom Cruise, whose character is Brian Flanagan. And did you notice how many times they kept saying their surnames?
Yes, it was very surname. Yeah. Flanagan. Yeah. They really tried to push the Irish heritage
aspect
for some reason. I'm not really quite sure why.
No, because, oh, well, it turns out he goes to New York. He wants to become a rich business guy. And he catches up with his uncle, who owns a pub called Pat's something or other. What is it called?
Pats?
Pats? Probably just Pats.
I think it was just Pats.
Yeah, lots of green and
broken neon. You couldn't quite read the sign.
Yeah. So he goes to Pats and he does a little bit of work there, but his dream is to become, like the proper 80s business guy, but he has absolutely no qualifications. He just did a stint in the military, and there's like a really good montage of everyone rejecting him because he doesn't have a college degree.
Yeah.
Little did they know that that meant nothing in 2019.
Yeah, it's the classic, and he's reading, there's several shots of like the self-help books that he's reading, The Entrepreneur and How to Turn an Idea into $1 Million.
Yeah.
it's the classic thing. And maybe that's why they refer to the Irish heritage, is because he's kind of going away from who he really should be and
yeah.
then returns there eventually owning a pub.
Yeah. So he enrolls, so all the job interview people are like, get out of here without your degree. Go to college. So he does enroll in college, but he obviously needs to work. So he swings by a TGI Fridays in Manhattan and asks for a job. And that's where we meet our friend, played by Brian Brown, Doug Coughlin.
Coughlin,
yeah. Who is just a dick. Yeah. Like, there was nothing.
And unfortunately, he's Australian.
Yeah, I'm like, cool. Is this what everyone thought? Like, everyone thought Crocodile Dundee and fucking Coughlin.
Yeah, that's Australia, isn't it?
Maybe that is Australia. he doesn't run the boat. He's like the manager, I guess. And he gives him a job and throws him in the deep end. And poor old Brian is like, oh, what's a martini? What are you saying? And has a really rough night, but he gets a job still, and he very quickly becomes really good at it, and they learn flair, which, if you don't know, for some reason, is when you hurl alcohol bottles around. Woo. And in a fun sort of way, and it makes your drink take 3 times as long to make, but it looks kind of cool in the process. A few bars in Brisbane, I think, still persist with that.
Yeah, we should go and find one.
Yeah, just yell at them. No, you don't like Tom Cruise at all. So these two form a pretty good friendship, which is, I don't understand, like, this, he's so much older and he's just constantly spouting nonsense. Like,
sexist nonsense. He's the most sexist.
Yeah, so sexist. And he just keeps, like, his Coughlin's Law, which is, like, I don't know, like Murphy's Law, but it's just like anything he thinks of is suddenly like a tidbit of, like, profound wisdom.
Oh yes. And all hail Coughlin's Law.
It's so shit. So they become really good friends, and they kind of entertain the idea of one day owning their own bar, and if not chain, and which Brian pitches in one of his business college classes, which is like getting a chain pub into every shopping center in America, which the like teacher is like, that's a crap idea. But what do we have now?
2019, there's a lot of pubs and shopping centres.
There's so many pubs and shopping centres. He was onto something. Especially Irish pubs. So, they're entertaining that idea, and they're really, really good at hurling bottles around behind a bar.
Yeah.
Doing it to, what's some of the songs they did? Addicted to Love.
Oh, Addicted to Love. That seems good. Is that when they were in time?
No, that was before. That was when the girl with the slicked back hair was at the bar.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because she had the same hair as the girls in that clip, which I thought was a nice, I don't know if that was on purpose. But they also did Hippie Hippie Shake was the one where they were like perfectly in sync.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that was great.
Throwing stuff behind their backs.
Everybody's cheering, laughing. I want to be at their bar.
Yeah, no, I was kind of a bit jealous. Saying it's a really fun time instead of us all like glaring at each other and dudes having punch ups for bumping into each other. They're really, really good, and everyone thinks they're really great. Because they're in Manhattan, it's obviously a really busy bar, and that's what Coughlin's always going on about. Like, you need to be in the right location to swindle money from women, basically.
He's like, this is where all the rich women hang out, so I'm going to bag myself one.
Yeah, bag myself one and take all their money.
What a cool guy.
What a legend. But they get, like, headhunted by some dude, and they end up working at a place called Cell Block.
Which is,
he described, the guy owns it as, like, the hottest saloon in New York. I'm like, saloon?
Who calls it a saloon?
It's Hog's Breath Cafe. God. Yeah, so they end up working there, and it's, I don't know, jail themed, and they're wearing like kind of like striped shirts. It's very tacky. More neon signs, so that's just pretty nice.
Yes, lots of neon. 3 stories high.
Like 3,000 people and 2 bartenders, we noticed.
It made perfect sense. Everyone was so happy to be waiting 10 hours for a drink.
And like there was the yuppie, yuppie poet who did poetry, and then Tom Cruise's character like gets up on does his own like poetry. Like that seems to be a recurring thing, is he gets up in a bar and does some
poetry.
Like,
yeah. I'm not sure where that like. Yeah, it's just like an added extra.
I was
just
like his personality quirk, I guess. Yeah. Like he's so like clever at just coming off the fly limericks. Who knows? While they're working at Cell Block, what's his name? Brian. Brian meets a girl called Coral, who's like a really wealthy photographer, because he's following Coughlin's advice and wants to bag a wealthy girl. But Coughlin's all like, women, you can't trust him. She's fucking other men behind your back. And he keeps like at him, which is really annoying. Like he was trying to start something, which turns out he is, because he bet him that she was going to fuck someone else by the end of the week. And it turns out he seduced her to prove a point.
Yeah, cool guy.
Which isn't really, like, did you win the bet if you forced her hand?
You made it happen?
Yeah.
The thing I thought about that was, like, it just really made an assumption about her stupidity, too. Like,
yeah.
She was just pictured as this woman who just would easily flip from guy to guy and really disregarded in the whole process. It was just this bloke's got their dick out and who can get the girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was so shit.
Oh, so shit. And it culminated in them having a fist fight behind the bar.
Yeah. And that was pretty good. Bit of action.
Yeah. So a lot of that's a recurring theme. People just getting punched and knocked down into things.
Yes.
Constantly. I guess that's what the 80s were about. Just throwing people into expensive things.
Oh, yes. The art. Well, that happened a couple of times with the artwork.
There's artwork just flying everywhere. And
lots of glass bottles breaking.
Yeah, just a mess everywhere. Yeah, obviously their friendship's ruined. So we cut to 3 years later and Brian is working in Jamaica. It was kind of one of his plans was to work in Jamaica for a while because you apparently make $300 to $400 a day.
Whoa.
Which is obviously not true. And, you know, to fund his idea for these chain of shitty bar pubs. And, yeah, so we cut to him and he's working there and he ends up having a little flirt with a beautiful, innocent girl called Jordan. And while that's going on, guess who turns up? It's Coughlin.
Coughlin.
Cool. Turns up and is, like, immediately at him again. He's such a bully.
Just a jerk.
Just a real jerk. Yeah, so obviously Brian is all like, I really like this other girl and everything, but Coughlin can't let that happen, can't let him have feelings for any girl.
No.
So
she's got to be rich.
Yeah, she's got to be rich. You got to take advantage of her.
That was the thing, wasn't it? It was like he just kept trying to like bully him into finding a rich woman.
Yeah. And so he's like having this lovely time like romancing Jordan, and God forbid a young man has feelings for a young woman, and like in a totally wholesome kind of way.
Yeah
they have a really nice time. Some really good montages of
I've written notes about the montage. Okay. So I reckon that was the ultimate 80s romance montage. Just gonna take a sidestep for a minute. So it featured lots of beautiful people at the beach. There was a roofless car. So she comes out in this outfit, bounding out, so happy as he picks her up in this Jeep that has no top on. And she has a top on, but it's a crop top, of course, and it's fluoro colors. And then there's like they're on a bus going down to the downtown of Jamaica and hanging out with the locals and dancing in the street. And then there's like that all goes into the waterfall scene.
Yeah, so I read a little thing about that waterfall scene. Apparently it was freezing cold. Oh. And they were just like, can we get this done? So you can actually, I was looking, I couldn't see it, but apparently if you look closely, you can see them shivering and they're like turning blue. Like, what? How sexy. Like, oh. I mean, her boobs would have looked incredible, I guess.
Yes.
But nothing about him would have looked pretty.
No. That was the ultimate romance. So that's how we know as an audience that romance is going on, because there's a montage with reggae style music.
Yeah.
Oh, and the horse riding. There was horse riding on the beach.
Yes. That's how we know it's true love.
True love.
But, of course, this wouldn't be a movie if there wasn't some drama. And the drama comes in the form of Coughlin daring Brian to seduce the wealthy woman who sits down at the bar. And because Brian is, you know, one of those 80s men who absolutely cannot say no to a bet, agrees. And he tries to seduce her and she's resistant at first. And they all like, oh, you couldn't do it. And then she's like, come back here, bartender. And he wins her over.
Oh, and they're sworn off. And yeah, she's wearing this outfit that was my favorite outfit the whole show. It's like a pantsuit but it's sheer black material.
Yeah, she with like some tropical kind of...
with tropical leaves on it, and she's flowing around and floating around. I'm like, that is my life goal. Is
yeah,
being
this is like really plunged, like swimsuit, one-piece swimsuit that goes right down to her belly button.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah. Just, she was like, a sheer-panted millionaire. Yeah. And that is sitting at a bar, bagging hot bartenders. It's totally my life goal.
No, it's actually... Yeah, so he ends up going back to Bonnie's bungalow, and our poor dear Jordan witnesses it. And luckily for her, that there was a late-night flight from Jamaica back to New York City. Like, how convenient. Because after they shag, Brian feels real bad and goes to seek her out. And her friend's like, nah, she got the late-night flight. What did you do? What did you do to her? And he's like, oh, I don't know. What did I do? You had sex with an old lady, okay? That's what you did.
You were in the middle of a romance montage and you went home with another woman.
Yeah.
Come on, Brian.
Really, obviously. Like, no discreetness at all, you idiot. So he's, I don't know, he doesn't know what to do. He knows where she works. She mentions where she works, which comes into play later. So, but he decides to stick with Bonnie because she's like enamored with him, and they go back to New York together, and she's essentially, I guess, like a toy boy kind of thing. Like, he's literally like a accessory who carries her coat and everything for her, and he doesn't like it very much, which you wouldn't know.
No.
Like, I mean, he wants to be an entrepreneur and everything, like, but yeah, is wealth worth being the handbag of literally a cougar?
Yes. Essentially, he followed his friend's advice, which was really bad. Turns out Coughlin's laws are shit.
Who knew?
Who would know? And yeah, sort of ends up in this position where he's just being told what to wear and what to do.
So he rebels violently.
Oh, yes.
This is the theme. They go to an art show, one of her friend's art shows. And oh my God, the artist, I don't know what, like, is that what artists look like in the 80s in New York?
Slick back hair.
Slick back hair and the biggest button-down shirt I've ever seen tucked into his pants. So big. Like, you could have fit three of those men in that shirt. He was the greasiest, grossest slimy looking white dude I've ever seen in my life. So, but he is the sculptor at this art show. Brian gets sloshed on expensive champagne and has a go at him, and they literally have a fist fight around the artwork, and the artist gets hurled through his own statue.
It's beautiful.
It was really satisfying. Like, as if you haven't wanted to punch your enemy in the face through their, like, most prized object.
Yes. It's the ultimate revenge.
So that doesn't go well, and he breaks up with Bonnie. He breaks up with Bonnie. And he's like, well, I'm going to cut my losses and go harass that other girl whose heart I broke. So he
turns up like a stalker.
Yeah,
to her workplace. So if this happened in real life, girls, I would be warning you against this guy.
Yeah, like, he is king fuckboy of Manhattan. So like a total fuckboy, he goes straight to her work. He sneaks into a booth and like holds up a menu to hide his face.
The
like
worst.
Real cool. And then he surprises her, and she's obviously furious. At this point, he doesn't know why she's mad. Because he's a big fucking dumb loser who missed all the cues. But so she is not having it at all, doesn't find this romantic gesture romantic whatsoever.
Which is cool. I liked that about her. She was calling him on his bullshit.
Yeah, she called him hardcore.
And then threw food on him.
Yeah, it's like, you want to see the specials? And like, pours what looks like dog puke on his head.
Here you go, pal.
It was so good. So yeah, lots of delicious revenge in this movie. Yeah, if you're not getting held through a statue, you're getting shit poured in your beautiful, beautiful floppy hair.
That floppy fringe got me every time.
So he doesn't take that hint and hangs out at her work
again.
Until she finishes, pretends to be a beggar, like it's a just terrible series of jokes. She goes back to her apartment, which they were trying so hard to make it look like she's like an artist, and she lives in a poor studio apartment.
Yeah.
But can you imagine how much that place would have cost to rent in, I guess it was in Manhattan as
downtown
well.
Downtown Manhattan.
Jesus Christ. It was nice. And like, if it hadn't had the staircase, you'd been like, yeah, that's a pretty small apartment. But it had a staircase, like a really flash looking staircase. I'm like, what's upstairs?
That was probably my favorite interior out of all of them, actually.
Yeah.
It was like the white painted brick and tall.
But also her art was just so late 80s.
Yeah.
Like stuff you'd see like on a t-shirt.
waterfall. On a Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah, yeah. Like that kind of. It's like, is this our waterfall? No, it's not our waterfall. I'm like, yes, it is.
It's the waterfall.
It's the waterfall. You're fucked in. So when they're back at the apartment having a talk, that's when the penny drops and he realizes that she actually saw him going home with the other lady.
Yeah.
And he realizes he was a fuckboy. But then he uses the excuse like, you were being too full on because you made a joke about having kids with dreadlocks living in Jamaica, and you know he got spooked, and that's why he had sex with another woman really obviously, like, cool. And he's like, he kind of threw it back on her. That made me so
angry. I was really angry too. Yeah. I was like, you prick.
Yeah, I'm sorry that she was nice and open and you rode a horse with her.
You rode on the horses on the beach. You're getting married forever and ever.
That's how it works. That she decides to, you know, spook him again. Like, she's, I don't think this is a great habit of hers. Like, she's constantly trying to scare him off when she clearly has feelings for him. She's like, well, I'm pregnant.
And that was a bombshell. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that, actually.
Also, like, I don't know if this is going into too far territory, but she's, okay, we find out something about her really soon, but that she's really, really wealthy, like super wealthy, Park Avenue rich, but she's obviously trying to make it out on her own with her own crappy little apartment and everything. But like, there are options if you are an unmarried white rich woman in New York.
Yeah.
Like, well, abortions aren't illegal in America in the 80s. So I don't know. I found that kind of weird. Like, there was no like, you know, pro-life kind of overtones, but I just like, I wonder why she wanted to keep the baby.
Yeah, I had the same thing going through my head, actually. Yeah, like I was expecting some kind of conversation or alluding to options, but there was nothing.
But she was like, I'm keeping it and I don't want you to have anything to do with the child.
Yeah.
And no, I don't know, that's not the choice I'd make, but we'll leave that to a more political podcast, I guess.
Yeah, we should take this offline.
So he is a little bit freaked out about that, but he kind of reflects on it. He leaves and reflects on it and is like, no, I really like her. And if she's going to have a baby, I kind of do want to be involved. So later on, he goes back to her apartment, is banging on the door, and her neighbor's like, she's not hiding from you. She's at her parents' house. And that's when we find out that she is rich as fuck.
So rich. Like Park Avenue.
Park Avenue? And yeah. And like, they have a concierge and a butler, and it's a time. So he goes on up there, and her dad is like, how much will it cost to get you out of here, boy?
Classic move.
Yep. And they're very marble, like the decor and that.
Oh, yeah. It was very, like, I was thinking the rich people America interior design hasn't really changed that much from that scene.
No.
Really heavy, thick curtains.
It's like, what you see pictures of Donald Trump's place, but like just less stuff. Like, just not as obnoxious.
Grand piano.
Just, yeah, really ornate and like more furniture than is entirely necessary for one apartment. Yeah, he goes in there and the dad's like, how much will it cost? And she turns up and they all have an argument and
more violence. More art got broken in that scene too, didn't it?
No, was it later?
Oh, was that later? Oh, I ruined it.
Nah. We're not doing a particularly linear plot around here.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think he ends up going back.
Then they break.
I feel like he goes and No, I know what happens. Okay. A lot happens before you let you come back. He seeks out Doug and is like, can I get a job at your swank new bar? So thing we missed. Okay, so when he's in Jamaica, Coughlin's like, hey, I've sorted myself out. I bagged myself a really rich woman and now we're married. And that's why the whole, like, that's what you got to do to make it.
Yes, key plot point.
Yeah, so he ends up opening his own really swank bar in New York City. And what is it called? I wrote that down somewhere.
It was called Hysteria Club.
Ooh, wow. And he's like, if you want a job, I'll give it to you. And he's like, oh, I'll never take a job from you again. And he's like, well, I bet a $400 bottle of brandy that you'll be here in like a certain amount of time. Obviously, that's what happens. He goes crawling back and asks for a job, and you know, they're having a deep and meaningful on the private yacht that's attached to the like the opulence. My god, it's the tackiest. They have like a deep and meaningful, and it turns out Coughlin's lawyers, he realizes, are bullshit himself, because he's actually flat broke. Like, he spent all the money on the wrong things and the bar's really doing badly, but he hasn't told his beautiful rich wife. She thinks that he's doing really well and he's miserable. The beautiful wife is like, I need to go home. and Tom Cruise is like, I'll drive you home. And then there's a moment where she tries to seduce him.
Of course.
I'm not quite sure why that what that it's was it, about.
All of the rich women were seductresses.
Yeah.
There was a real kind of thing going on.
And there. I didn't like how like Tom Cruise kept kind of shaming his wife for being like that. But like, I think that was like a part of their relationship.
That's
like,
what I thought too. Yeah. I thought he was...
Piss off with your prudy ways, do you?
Yeah. They just had an open scenario.
Yeah.
That they were obviously kind of all okay with until Tom Cruise comes along with his judgment.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Cruise was a Catholic at that time.
So, oh, yes, yeah, that's true.
He wasn't quite a Scientologist yet. So maybe that's the difference. So he does it back and he's like, how dare you kiss me? He's my best friend. And he goes back to talk to Coughlin, and Coughlin, for some reason, has decided his life is so bad that he takes the bottle of the $400 brandy and slashes his own throat with it. Like, you don't see it, you just see the aftermath of that, which is pretty full on.
It's quite grim.
So that's a kind of a sad point. But that makes Brian realize that, you know, you've got to make the right decisions that feel right to you, not the ones that you think are going to get you where you want to be. So he goes back into the Park Avenue apartment, and that's where there's like a
more violence. There's more violence.
And like this art. I never know what sort of art. It's so 80s. It's like a big pink ball and like a big blue like swoosh thing.
It's just like shapes.
Yeah, just real shapes put together, and like the butler goes flying through one, and it's real good. But instead of her being like, get out of here, fuck boy, she's like, nah, fuck boy, I'm coming with you.
Oh, yeah, it was a bit
naff.
A little bit naff.
Yeah, like he was like, he had a pretty compelling speech, but you go on some dates, guys. Like, she'd literally run away with him to go and get married
at
the Pat's pub.
Yes. Back to his roots. So that's, you know, he's going back to his...
Yeah.
Back to his roots, back to his family. You know, all is well in Queens.
Congratulations. Like, him making jokes about, like, you're going to want to divorce me in 3 weeks. And like, oh, and like, you're going to want to divorce me because I'm going to get fat and ugly. And like, him making fat...
Oh, and then he said, this is an actual line from this movie, as long as you don't get too fat.
What does that mean?
Sorry, what is your...
I'm sorry, do you know what marriage is? Like, you don't get to be like a clause. It's like, unless she gets too fat, for better or for worse.
Oh, the 80s.
It was... Prime fat shaming in there.
Yes, there was a few quotes.
And then, I don't know, not much happens for a minute, and then he opens his own bar. It's like Flanagan's Cocktails and Dreams.
Yes.
And if you're not from Queensland, even if you are from Queensland, you might not know this. So on the Gold Coast, there is a bar in Surfers Paradise called Cocktails and Dreams. Or it was until really recently when I went back, and then they've just turned it to Cocktails.
Aww.
But it used to have like the actual neon sign. Yay. And everything. And I think they used to do flair and stuff there. It's the worst bar in one of the worst places on earth. Like, I love it. It's so trashy, but it's a shocker. But yeah, I went back now that I'm a Tom Cruise fan, and like, can't wait to get photos outside there. And yeah, it was like,
boo.
Or like modern graphic design. I'm like, boo.
Aww.
You're like, 30 years nearly you had the tackiest stuff, and now you change it. Anyway,
you're just late to the Tom Cruise party.
I was too late for the Tom Cruise party. I was so bummed. Oh well. And then like the there's some more fucking counter, like, bar top poetry.
Oh yes.
And then she's like, I'm gonna spook you one more time. And Jade was like, it's twins. And she's like, it's twins.
I knew it. Predict this stuff.
Of course it was twins. And they got her wedding dress was really, I thought it was a very nice 80s.
Except
it didn't have big puffy sleeves, which was...
That would have been a bit more 80s. But there was some good background. There was a really hot denim puffy sleeve dress going on.
Oh, yeah. With a nice yoke. Yeah, some of the fashion was like, a lot of like that businessy corporate 80s fashion. Like that once jacket he wears that like goes down past his bum.
It's like a mid thigh. Yeah. It's a mid-thigh like tweed thing.
Wow. They got style.
And then in the final scene, he has a waist, like he tries to have this country-ish, but it's like 80s country, and there's a waistcoat and those thin leather ties.
Yeah.
Like he's got
Was that a thing? Because that woman was wearing like a really country denim dress.
Yeah.
I wonder what's the thing. But it was also like, seemed like it was Irish.
Yeah. I think they were trying to include a lot of things.
It was... possibly the shittest bar, and that's why it will do really well at all the suburban pubs they could possibly hope for.
That's right.
And so the moral of the story is, don't fuck with rich women.
Unless either they'll seduce you or dump you.
Unless they're willing to like lose everything to be with you because you knocked her up. I don't know. It's the morals weren't great in this. It
wasn't super clear. But I did notice, so I was actually hoping for some cocaine usage because it's an 80s film. It's corporate Wall Street. You know, want to get rich. I was really surprised there was no coke.
No. I think that in lieu of that was a $400 bottle of...
Yeah.
Maybe that was like a metaphor for that. So what does a $400 bottle of brandy taste like?
Yeah. I don't think it tastes any different really to an $80 bottle, surely.
Probably not.
Surely after $80 it doesn't...
Surely after like $40 even. Like, I don't know. I'm a cheap drunk, but... Yeah, so lots of 80s is... excluding the lack of cocaine, and yeah, just a good time despite all the bitching we have done. So what I'd like to talk about is Tom Cruise-isms. I guess because this is an earlier film, there's not a lot. Like, well, the main one would be running, and the only running I noted was when he was trying to, after having intercourse with Bonnie, he decides, he's like, I feel awful, and he runs for like... 10 feet to find Jordan.
Yeah.
So that's the only bit of running. But it was still very Tom Cruise running. Yeah. So
the other thing the other thing I noticed was the hands in the air. Woo!
Yeah.
That happens quite a few times. It
is like a that Tom Cruise like big smile, obnoxious noise kind of thing. So there was a couple of those little.
And he always does when somebody says something, he does like a chuckle kind of. This is going to be hard to not see the way that I'm trying to do it, but he like sort of looks down a little bit with this coy eye thing up with his sexy smile and does this little like, I think I'm pretty sure that face is on the cover of one of his movies. I can't think one, but that's. But
it'd be like Jerry Maguire or something.
Yes, yeah. The Jerry Maguire thing. So yes, he does that in this film a few times.
That is definitely a Tom Cruise-ism.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Tom Cruise-ism, but man, is he a handsome boy.
He is so fucking hot.
Look at his beautiful hair, and he slicks his hair back. I'm like, mwah, beautiful.
But yeah, it's that floppy fringe. That whole time I was just like, oh, I just want to put my fingers in that hair.
So much hair. I think that's probably all the Tom Cruise's. Oh, I guess one of his things is stunts. There weren't any stunts in here. Like, I mean, he rode his own horse, I guess. But but he learned how to do flair cocktail making.
He learned that.
Yeah, so someone, a guy whose name I've forgotten, was well known in New York as a flair cocktail guy. Yeah. And he worked at the TGI Fridays. And he was, like, seen by someone from Touchstone Pictures who was like, we need someone to teach Tom Cruise how to do flair. Would you like to do that? So he got this really cool gig of teaching Tom Cruise how to do flair.
That's so cool.
Yeah, which is – that's
so dreams came true for the movie.
Yeah, someone's dreams came true.
Someone's dreams came true.
So, yeah, he did. He learned that. I remember reading somewhere that how much time he devoted to that, but I can't remember what it was. But I imagine knowing Tom Cruise, it was a lot of time.
Obsessive.
Yeah. And apparently I watched a thing recently where he can still do it, so of course he can. Stop showing off, Tom Cruise. Jeez.
Fuck that guy. Why is he so good at everything?
Oh, I just wrote it in my notes. I don't know if this is an American thing or a New York thing. Why was everyone just constantly yelling and interrupting?
I think it's a New York thing, isn't it?
Like every time there's someone's doing poetry, they're like, oh, I got five things to say. Oh, hey. Yeah, make my drink. And just constantly. Yeah. Hey, you bucked me in. You hunk of junk to a limousine. Like, just
oh, you're constant. The taxi driver. Yeah. You limousine drivers, get out of here.
Yeah, I like that. Just constant interruptions. Everyone is so rude.
Except in Jamaica, because there was reggae music on all the time. Yeah, everyone was chill. Super chilled.
That's the story of Cocktail. I think that's everything.
The only other thing, there is one thing.
Yep.
The soundtrack. We haven't talked about the music.
Oh, yep. Okay.
The music is pretty amazing.
The music is amazing.
In the beginning, there's this song. I don't know, even though it doesn't, it's not recognizable to me, but I just wrote a note that says, music A+, ambitious cock rock.
That's so good.
It really sums it up.
Yeah, it was some really good song. Like, if you look up the, the soundtrack, there's some real bangers in there. Like, obviously, Hippie Hippie Shake, and there's like someone singing All Shook Up, but like, a different, like a non-Elvis version. Yeah, which is actually pretty cool. And is it Kokomo that...
Yes, the Beach Boys
song was apparently written for this.
Yeah.
And I also read that Don't Worry, Be Happy blew up after this movie came out. So it had been released, but they put it in the movie and then it blew up and was in radios everywhere. Which I was reading the thing like, oh, sorry about that. I'm like, that song is great. I don't know why. Well, don't apologize for that. I'm glad that exists.
Yeah. It is a good song. Yeah. There was actually, I used to have this tape that was from the Reader's Digest and it had all these 80s songs on it, but copies of 80s songs. And Kokomo was on there. The Don't Worry, Be Happy was on
is
there.
Is that like Kimmy Schmidt when she has, have you seen that? Where she has a tape of like bad covers.
Yeah. Wonderful. It sounds like the song. Yeah. We could produce it really cheaply.
Oh, that's so good. I think one of the best things about this movie is probably the tagline. It's not actually on this DVD for some reason, but you see it on a lot of things. It is, and wait for it, it is, when he pours, he rains.
Sorry, what?
When he pours, he rains.
Rains like R-E-I-G.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably like better than the whole movie, like that tagline.
That's amazing.
We should rate this movie.
Yes. What's our measure? What's the
measure? So out of five, and you get to pick your chosen thing. I'll rate it. It's very fun and enjoyable, but it's definitely not Tom Cruise's best. Like even of his 80s kind of silly movies, I think it's definitely probably the cheesiest, but it's just, it is really fun. Like it's a nice background kind of movie. So I'll give it 2.5.
2.5.
Oh, what am I going to give it? Smashed bottles of $400 brandy out of five.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Look, I think, I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed watching it. I love the 80s culture references. There's just so many things in there that are the epitome of 80s. And Tom Cruise is super hot. And although I wasn't super happy about how women get treated generally, but you know, we're past that. We're moving forward maybe in that area.
Happily now it's 30 years past.
Yeah.
Things will be better.
It does make you realize maybe some things have changed a little bit.
Yeah.
In any case, super fun. My rating is going to be 3 smashed sculptures on the floor out of 5.
Nice.
Love that art smash.
There literally were 3 smashed sculptures on the floor in this movie. It was good. So that's I think you should go watch it. If you're going to watch really Tom Cruise-y movie, definitely watch Cocktail. Yes. Well, thank you, Jade, so much for
Thanks
that.
Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Would you like to tell us where we can find you online?
Oh, yeah. So I'm on Instagram, Style and Space, and I write a blog called Style and Space at styleandspace.com.au. I have thoroughly enjoyed reviewing this film with you, and if nobody else is going to take up any other 80s Tom Cruise movies, you can always come back to me.
I will come straight back to you. That sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Cara.
Thank you.